throughout the centuries, men and women have sought happiness, money, and power. But the master key to true success is wisdom. Some have described wisdom as what is true, right, and lasting. It includes knowledge, but it is also insight. Wisdom transforms your circumstances and determines your future. During the next 30 minutes, internationally known author and teacher Dr. Mike Murdoch will take you on an extraordinary journey to discover real wisdom. You are closer than you've ever been to a miraculous success. Whatever your frustrations, struggles, or failures, wisdom is the master key that can change everything in a moment. Join us for Wisdom Keys with Mike Murdoch.
Now, that's the open to a television program called Wisdom Keys. It airs each Sunday morning here in St. Louis on the local ABC affiliate, right before Joel Osteen. Dr. Mike Murdoch, you heard his name mentioned there, is the host of this program called Wisdom Keys. We're going to be hearing the message here in the first hour of Issues, Etc. from Dr. Mike Murdoch. He's preaching from apparently a rather endless sermon series on his book, 101 Wisdom Keys, with a show of the same name. And we're going to be evaluating it, as we have over the last couple months here on Issues, Etc., with other popular television preachers. Joel Osteen was one of them. Dr. James, D. James Kennedy, Charles Stanley. We also had Joyce Meyer, Creflo Dollar, Robert Schuller, and the latest here, Dr. Mike Murdoch. We're going to be hearing from him in just a moment, this first hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Now, before we get there, let me tell you what's coming up in the program. In the second hour, we're going to start out talking about a new Vatican document on feminism. Did you hear about this on the news? The Vatican comes out with a document on feminism. Some people are saying the document itself has a feminist tinge. You may have read about it in the paper as well. We'll be talking with Helen Hull Hitchcock of Women for Faith and Family about that most recent Vatican document. Then, in the second part of that second hour of Issues, Etc., an hour-long conversation with Dr. Andrew Steinman running till 5:30. It's the beginning of a five-part series we're doing with him as our author of our Issues, Etc. book of the month for August, Is God Listening? This five-part series is on prayer today. Prayer and the theology of the cross. What do you do when God seems deaf? Like it's not getting there, like the message isn't getting through. We'll talk about that with Dr. Andrew Steinman. And then the last half hour of the program, open lines for your questions and your comments. We'll hear, if time permits, a little bit from John Kerry from this weekend's audio. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. If you've ever seen the program by Dr. Mike Murdoch called Wisdom Keys, we'll get a taste of it here. We're going to have the entire, his message. Now, his message is punctuated with a lot of commercials, so we will be taking a few breaks there to comment, as well as some observations on my part. Mike Murdoch begins his message on Sunday morning. This is just last Sunday's message on Wisdom Keys, by talking about the reason you were born.
Have you ever asked yourself, why on earth am I here, or why am I here on earth? What's my purpose? What's my destiny? I call it assignment. I'm holding in my hand three keys. Interesting. One key opens a door. This other key here is a key to my car, a gift to me. This third key, looking a little weird, is a key to a safe. A door, a car, a safe. Each key is different. Its future is in its difference. This is something incredibly important to your life. The reason you were born. The secret of your difference. Because your success does not depend on your similarity to another person. Your success is determined by your difference from another. I don't go to McDonald's because it reminds me of Wendy's. I don't fly American Airlines because it reminds me of United. You didn't marry your husband because he reminded you of your first boyfriend. Sameness creates comfort, but your difference determines your reward. If you can't tell me in a single sentence or a word what your difference is from another, you don't know your difference, which means you're living life unrewarded for your assignment or your difference. It's very important. Your significance is not determined by sameness, but your significance in your life is determined by your difference from those around you. Find your difference, and you build your life around it. You build your library around it. You build your focus around it. And if you don't know your difference, you don't know who belongs in your life and who doesn't belong in your life.
Now, he's laid the foundation here, Mike Murdoch has, in the first part of his message about the assignment. It's good that a lot of this is going to involve what he calls your assignment and the keys to unlocking your difference. But not only that, the keys to unlocking, your goals and how to be rewarded, how to be blessed. I got to admit to you, folks, when I first started listening to this earlier today, I was confused. I'll put it mildly, completely confused. I didn't know where he was going with this. Now, in order to clear up some of the confusion, I want you to bear a few things in mind. We've talked about this before. I'm going to repeat it for the sake of clarity. There's a simple diagnosis that you can do on any message. Now, this is a man who claims to be a Christian. This is a man who claims that he's going to bring us a Christian message from the Word of God. He's going to talk a little bit about how wisdom is God's Word and God's Word is wisdom. A simple diagnostic test to see whether or not you're really listening to a Christian message. You've heard it before. First of all, ask the question, as you're listening to a Christian message, a sermon on Sunday morning, something on television, radio, makes no difference. How often does Jesus get mentioned? Now, if you count up the times here with Mike Murdoch, I think you might get be able to count them on one hand, but I think that's about all the farther you can go. That's the first level of the diagnosis. How often does Jesus get mentioned? I mean, you really can tell what a message is about if Jesus doesn't get mentioned at all. I mean, period. You can be pretty sure the message had nothing to do with Jesus or wasn't about your Savior, Jesus Christ, right? It's not an infallible test. That's why there's another part of this test, this little diagnosis, and that is count how often Jesus is the subject of the verbs. How often is he the one doing the doing as opposed to, say, you being the one who's doing the doing? How often is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And then the third part of the diagnosis, when it comes to those verbs, if Jesus is the subject, what is the preacher telling you that Jesus is doing, has done, will do? Is he talking about Jesus simply watching out for you, blessing you, using kind of generic terms like this? Or does he talk about what Jesus has done? Namely, died on the cross for you. Now, the theme of Murdoch's message here is basically you can get God to do things for you depending on what you're willing to give up. God will give depending upon what you're willing to give up. Now, already, the more astute among you might see where this is headed. I'm not going to give that away right away. Murdoch returns to talking about your assignment, your goals, and, not surprisingly, his book.
Because when you find your assignment, you can announce your goals. When you announce your goals, you force adversaries to expose themselves. When you announce your goals, you force friendships to reveal the level of their loyalty towards you. This is why this is so important today, that we're teaching from my book, 101 Wisdom Keys. It's one of the seven we're offering today, and you're going to have a gift copy of it in your home. And if you've already ordered your copy, go get it, and let's go through it with me each week as we share wisdom keys from the Word of God. What's important about the Word of God? It is the wisdom of God. Deuteronomy 4:6 says, this is your wisdom. The wisdom of God is the Word of God. The Word of God is the wisdom of God. What is wisdom? Wisdom, the Bible says, is the master key to health. It's the master key to favor. It's the master key to wealth. Wisdom determines your longevity. Wisdom determines your favor. The difference between seasons is your wisdom. God creates seasons, but wisdom schedules your seasons.
Now, I was only more confused at this point. This is the theme of the entire show with Mike Murdoch, is wisdom. So he's made an analogy, not an analogy, he's equated God's Word with wisdom. He said the Word of God is the wisdom of God and vice versa. And that's true. I mean, who would deny that the Word of God, Scripture, is impart God's wisdom? I got two questions, and I want you to listen carefully in the course of this message by Mike Murdoch. What is that wisdom? Granted, the Word of God is the wisdom of God. What is that wisdom that Mike Murdoch wants to impart to you? And, you know, you can find the answer to this question in Scripture. Paul has something to say about the wisdom of God. I think he says something about it being foolishness to us, but it's wisdom to God. But how does Mike Murdoch answer that question? What is this wisdom that is the Word of God? Now, we're picking up in the middle of a sermon series, so don't be surprised here when he talks about wisdom key number 3. And this is very interesting. He has a very kind of almost New Age sound to him, doesn't he? Where he talks about wisdom, he tends to speak in little sound bites, a little sayings that can be strung together. And when you say you try to put it all together, you have to wait for it all kind of hit you like a tidal wave before you figure out what it is he's saying or where it is he's going. Very key word here in what Mike Murdoch has to say. That word is secret. That really appeals to people, doesn't it? If I've got a secret for you that you can't get anywhere else, not only am I going to keep you listening and watching my show, but I might even sell you a book or two.
Wisdom key number 3 from my book, 101 Wisdom Keys. Those who unlock your compassion are those to whom you have been assigned. Those who unlock your compassion are those to whom you have been assigned. I want you to write that down while it's on the screen in front of you. Write that down, because there's a secret here that can change your income, change your life, change your energy, change your passion. Everything created solves a problem. I just brought up the fact that there's 3 keys. There's a door key. There's a key to the BMW. There's a key to the safe. Each key has a distinction because it has a different purpose. My eyes see, my hands reach, my feet walk, my mouth speaks, my mind thinks. Everything created has a different purpose, a different assignment. You don't decide your assignment, you discover it. Your assignment is always to a person or a group of people. Your assignment is always to solve a problem, because everything created is an existing solution. Now, how do you know to whom you've been assigned? Whose pain matters? Whose tears affect you? Whose success could become your obsession? Who do you long to protect? Did you read the paper about 3 years ago? A woman who picked up the end of a car, 1,500 pounds, that had fallen on her child. When the event had passed, they tested her. She couldn't even pick up 200 pounds. But when she saw her child under that car, a supernatural energy, a passion, a strength, because focus creates strength. And your strength is not determined by your muscles, but by focus. It's the secret of the laser beam. It's the secret of the martial arts. You belong somewhere. There's a place for you. There's a place where nobody else can feel. Look at this wisdom key again. Those who unlock your compassion, whose pain affects you, whose tears affect you. Somebody's future is linked to you. You are the missing ingredient in somebody's equation. You are genetically perfect for your assignment. You are accurate. You are perfection for the place that God's assigned you. Those who unlock your compassion are those to whom you have been assigned. You're not assigned to everybody. You're assigned to somebody.
All right. I'm trying to sort this out. Still in the second hearing, I'm trying to sort this out. He's talking about your assignment and how you've been assigned to someone. And the principle that he's working from here, Mike Murdoch, in his program Wisdom Keys, that airs Sunday mornings here in St. Louis, right next to Joel Osteen, by the way. We're walking through this message and evaluating it. The principle seems to be you find those you care about. I'm trying to boil it down because he says it in about 15 different ways. You find those you care about, and when you find those you care about, then you found your assignment. You found the somebody, not the everybody, but the somebody that you've been assigned to. So that's his first wisdom key. The people who unlock your compassion, those are the people you should, those are where your assignment is. Now, already notice something. If this is indeed the Christian life that he's talking about, and I'm not quite sure it is at this point, Now, he will go on to quote the Bible and speak a little bit about Jesus. And remember this, just because someone quotes the Bible doesn't make it a Christian message. Mormons quote the Bible all the time. Jehovah's Witnesses, they quote the Bible all the time. You can walk into a Buddhist temple someplace and probably find a monk who will quote the Bible to you, at least a small portion of it. So just because someone quotes the Bible doesn't mean that it's necessarily a Christian message. The Bible can not only be misquoted, it can be misread. And I asked that question before. Remember what it is. He's all about wisdom, Mike Murdoch is. What is the wisdom that he says is the key to God's Word? So I'm listening to this and I'm thinking to myself, if this is indeed about the Christian life, and that has yet to be determined, where is the emphasis being put? Well, obviously it's being put on you. You've got to find that person that unlocks your compassion, and then you'll know what your assignment is. See, life is kind of like a maze. It's a kind of like a series of secrets that you need the keys. You need a constant set of keys, a big ring of them, in fact. He's got 101 in his book. You ever seen one of those guys walking around with a ring of keys that weighs 6 pounds? He's got every key to everything he's ever owned on that key ring. And then when he comes to a certain door, he's got to sort through all 101 of them. That's kind of like what the Christian life is for Mike Murdoch. You got to find the right key to unlock the right door. And then, and it's all pretty much veiled in secrecy, then things will begin to happen for you. Then God will start to act on your behalf. It's an odd picture of the Christian life. Is the Christian life really about finding your assignment? I mean, Rick Warren would put it in terms of finding your purpose. I don't see a big difference here. Rick Warren just says, look, I'll tell you what the keys are. I won't make you go and figure them out. I'll just tell you what they are. Here are the questions, blah, blah, blah. And once you've answered all those questions correctly, you found your purpose. Now go live it. But whether you call it assignment or purpose, is that what the Christian life is really all about? Now, apparently, this fact that you're not assigned to everybody, but you're assigned to somebody was true even of Jesus.
Even Jesus didn't do well in places. That's why he left one city and went to another. There's a powerful key here. Who stirs the joy? Whose victory matters to you? Disconnect from where you don't belong. Never stay where God has not assigned you. Find where your gift and your difference is embraced. You are perfect for the future you're moving toward.
You are perfect for the future you are moving toward. Now, he's already said that. You're genetically designed for this future. You're genetically perfect for this future that God has assigned to you. Now, maybe I'm just being nitpicky, but is that something you can show me from the Bible? Is there a Bible passage? Or maybe more than just one would be nice, where what Mike Murdoch has said here in his Sunday message can be shown to be true. That you are genetically perfect, you are perfect for the future you're moving toward. Now see, this is a very interesting picture of the Christian life. Now I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that he's talking about the Christian life. Notice that talking about the Christian life and talking about the Christ are two different things. They really are. You can hear a sermon about the Christian and the Christian life, and a lot of people do, as their regular diet on Sunday morning. They hear a lot about the Christian, very little about the Christ. But in this message on the Christian life, he has a picture that you're kind of like, you have unfulfilled potential. That's what the real problem here is. You're ready to go. You're okay as you are. You, as far as who you are, there's not a problem there. Your problem is you don't know what to do next. You haven't figured it out. You lack knowledge or wisdom. And what you need is the keys, the wisdom keys, in order to figure out what to do next. Your problem isn't that you're sinful and you need forgiveness, or that you're a sinner who needs a savior. Your problem is that you're ignorant. But you're perfect as you are. All you lack is to know what your future would be. And you're already perfectly set out for that future. Is that what Scripture says about us? That we are perfect for our future? Think about that while we listen more to Mike Murdoch.
Let's look at wisdom key number 4. What you are willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you. What you are willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you. The cost of your future is your present. You can crave Canaan, picture Canaan, visualize Canaan, but you must disconnect from where you are. You must forfeit yesterday to taste tomorrow. A young lady that cannot erase the memory of an unfaithful husband will never have a faithful husband. You've got to walk away from yesterday, the memories, the torment, to be able to taste your future.
Now, this is the real theme of Murdoch's message. What you are willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you. Now, notice how this, the mechanism of his wisdom here works. You act, God reacts. You initiate, God responds. You do, then God does. The emphasis lies, and the onus, the responsibility, and the burden lies entirely with you. God will, there's potential there. God will do something. He hasn't told us what it is. He's putting in terms of unlocking your future and tasting your future. But it requires that you act first. And the spiritual law, the spiritual principle, and I suspect that this guy is probably in the word faith camp, the name it and claim it camp, although, I don't know, he sounds a little bit more like it the longer the sermon goes on. But whether that's true or not, what you are willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you. So if you're willing to walk away from X, then God will bring Y to you. But if you're not willing to walk away from X, then you can't expect Y from God. If you're willing to walk away from M, then God will bring N to you. You see, you determine the whole course of God's actions. It's all determined by what you're willing to walk away from. Now, I say this is the theme of his message. You got to listen carefully, folks. I said before that some of you might realize where he's headed. How is he going to flesh this out? What you're willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you. Last week, we listened to a message by Creflo Dollar, aptly named Dr. Dollar because of his masterful sales pitch, and his message, which is essentially, give to my ministry and God will multiply your wealth and you won't lack anything. Well, Mike Murdoch outdoes Dr. Dollar, and he'll do it on the basis of this theme that he's introduced here in his Sunday message on his program, Wisdom Keys. What you are willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you. When we come back, we'll hear more from Mike Murdoch, and we'll hear his own personal story that proves what he was willing to walk away from determined what God brought to him. And that's why he drives that BMW and has that safe full of money. And the house, too. When we come back, your phone calls as well, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Promise Keepers, Way Down Workshop, The Prayer of Jabez, The Purpose-Driven Life. Why are so many Christians caught up with the latest crazes to hit the church? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article in the next edition of the Issues, Etc. journal titled The Fad-Driven Church. Has the church's quest for relevance made it irrelevant in the 21st century? Find out with the next Issues, Etc. journal. 1-800-737-0172. Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Stephen Hine has also written an article on the Christian life titled Getting Clear on Sanctification. 1-800-737-0172. And the next issue also contains Uwe Simonetto's story, From Hedonism to Lutheranism, 1-800-737-0172, or write Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The Issues, Etc. Journal.
Russian President Vladimir Putin can clearly explain the meaning of Christ's birth. This Global Minute lets you hear Pastor Igor Sokolov from St. Petersburg share his perspective on Putin.
He explained it in Christian terms, and he said that Jesus came and he died for people's sins, and it was so amazing to hear. And he has meetings very often with church leaders and invite people from all denominations.
Pastor Sokolov's comments were first aired on the White Harvest Report, a service of WEEC in Ohio. Pray for continued religious freedom in Russia so that more families there will hear a clear presentation of Christ's message, and pray for unity among Christian pastors. Expand your prayer life with news from around the world by visiting the website missionvisionnetwork.org. That's missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Last week, the Democratic National Committee appointed Reverend Brenda Peterson to reach out to faith groups. Republicans are seeking church mailing lists. Some politicians speak from pulpits, a questionable practice under IRS laws, unless Congress passes a law introduced to allow explicit church politicking. When politicians troll in churches for votes, you hear religious words bent to political purposes. Justice, love, hope, biblical quotations, even sincere speakers mold divine truths like silly putty to suit their immediate political purposes. So, back to the basics. Just before his ascension, Jesus summed up the Bible, his ministry, and the church's task. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, he said, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Luke 24. How many politicians prowling churches for votes are going to give their whole speech to that central biblical message? And when you, weary from the week, struggling with your own issues, plop down into a pew, do you want to hear a political message from your pastor that masquerades as a word from God? Yes, a faith that is intellectually active does follow the political scene, but such a faith also treasures Jesus' words to a Roman politician, "My kingdom is not of this world."
Sabbath, from a law gospel perspective, means this. We no longer are bound to the ceremonial or civil laws of the Old Testament. Therefore, we can worship on any day we want. The moral part is that we set aside some time in order that we might come into God's presence. And we enter into His presence by following the rituals that He has devised, not our rituals.
Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, weekday evenings at 6:05 on AM 850 KFUO.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk about speaking the truth in love to Muslims with Dr. Roland Cap Elke of Concordia University, Wisconsin. And we'll also be having a conversation with Gretchen Passantino about Kabbalah. It's, how do you summarize something that's so many people hear about but so few people understand? I don't even understand. It's Jewish mysticism, made most popular nowadays by some celebrities, including Madonna. She's one of the biggest advocates of Kabbalah. We'll talk about it with Gretchen Passantino tomorrow on Issues Etc. We're listening to and evaluating a message by Mike Murdoch, Dr. Mike Murdoch, from his Sunday morning program, heard on the ABC affiliate here in, on television, the ABC affiliate on Sunday mornings right before Joel Osteen. Dr. Mike Murdoch's program is called Wisdom Keys. So far, he's laid out his basic principle: what you are willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you. And this is headed someplace, folks, but you have to listen carefully. All right? You have to listen carefully for how he fleshes out this wisdom key. What you're willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you.
There's some fascinating pictures in the Bible, which is the greatest wisdom book on earth. Ruth, an incredible young lady, turned her back on Moab, the place of comfort, and God miraculously gave her the golden connection with her Boaz. The price of Boaz? Moab, the country she was raised in. She had to walk away from what she was comfortable with to experience what she loved and what she needed. Isaac had to walk away from conflict to get the prosperity. Joseph had to walk away from the memories of injustice to his brothers to reach the throne and be the prime minister of Egypt. Samson wouldn't walk away from Delilah and lost his position as a judge and a great champion. Joseph was willing to walk away from Potiphar's wife, who attempted to seduce him to experience the throne. Look at that again. What you're willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you.
Now, at this point, I'm thinking, you know, he might be able to salvage this because some of the examples from the Old Testament that he pulled out, Ruth, Isaac, Joseph, and that last one, Samson, contrasting Samson and Joseph, how Joseph was willing to eschew sin, the temptation of Potiphar's wife. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe he's going in the right direction. Maybe he's talking about walking away from sin. Now, it still wouldn't be right that, you know, your willingness to walk away from sin determines what God will bring to you. That would... God does not forgive us because we are repentant. We are repentant because God forgives us. That may come as a surprise to some of you, and I think it would certainly come as a surprise to Mike Murdoch, but that's the way it works. God loves us first, right? I mean, that was, God didn't sit around waiting for us to become repentant before he started loving us. God loved the world, gave his son, Jesus Christ. Interesting, too, in this Christian message on a Sunday morning from a Christian minister, no mention of that. Jesus hasn't been mentioned. Now, he will get mentioned a little, well, he got mentioned once. Jesus didn't get along with everybody either. He wasn't assigned to everybody. He was just assigned to a few people. That was what he said before. But this whole cross issue is conspicuously absent in this Christian message. So I thought he might be going the right direction. But, folks, don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. He's not talking about walking away from sin. But before we get what he is talking about, he's going to lead us through a couple more secrets and three ways to walk away from your past.
It'll cost you something to taste the future that you want. We talk about destiny. We talk about assignment. We talk about greatness. But the secret to tasting your future is to turn your back on yesterday. Your mouth and your mind give life to the past. Meditation, conversation, enhance and enlarge. And whatever you think about, talk about, enlarges. God gave you a mind and a mouth to multiply the experiences in your life. Three ways to walk away from the past. Number one, stop discussing what you want others to forget. Stop talking about yesterday. You give life to it. Number two, discuss your future with people who want to be in it. Move away from people who keep feeding the negative of the past. Even now, take a pen. Write down the names of three friends who believe your future is greater than your past. Three people who love to talk about your future. Because everybody in your life will talk about a memory or your imagination. And it's up to you to decide which direction you move.
Now, again, I feel like I'm kind of beating a dead horse here, but not to belabor the point, notice where the emphasis is being put. There are people staying home from church on Sunday morning to watch Mike Murdoch. And this is what they're getting. The emphasis is being put on you. Write down three people who affirm you, who don't want to worry about your past. You know, Bill Clinton would love this guy. Let's forget what's in the past. Let's move on toward the future. Now, this is where I started to suspect that he might be word faith, because he said, don't talk about the negative past because that will just keep it alive. I kind of thought that's what repentance was all about. Admitting to God what you have done. Is this what repentance is? You go to God and you say, God, I know what I've done, but I'm not going to talk about that because that would just keep my past alive. I know what I did yesterday. That was sinful. But I'm not going to dwell on the negative because I don't want to keep it alive. I'm just going to look toward the future. So God, let's forget the past and move on toward the future. Is that what repentance is? No. Repentance is remembering what you have done. The sins that you have done and admitting to them before God. Admitting that you are, have been, and still are the sinner for whom Christ died. Now, in a very convenient proof of the fact that the Bible is the heretic's book, and they quote it more often sometimes than even Orthodox teachers, Mike Murdoch moves on to 1 Kings 17 and Mark 10.
I'll never forget an incredible night that I read 1 Kings 17. And Elijah looked at the widow of Zarephath. He said, "What are you having for supper?" She said, "Two pancakes, one for me and one for Junior. And we're dying." Her faith was over. Gone. It was lost. She had no hope. And the man of God spoke to her and said, "Walk away from something you have in your hand." It was her last pancake. But she planted it as a seed into a man of God. And the Bible said God fed her through the famine. One day, Peter made a statement to Jesus, Mark chapter 10. "We've given up everything to follow you." And Jesus could have said, "Right, three catfish and a boat." But he didn't. He looked at Peter and said, "Anything you give up for me, you will get it back 100 times in this life and in the life to come, life everlasting."
He left something out, by the way, from that passage. Jesus says, yeah, you'll receive everything back, wives, children, homes, property, with persecutions, and in the life to come, eternal life. With persecutions is the part he left out. Now, that may or may not mean anything. It may just be not accurately remembering the passage. But I thought I'd, you know, if we're going to quote the Bible, let's quote it every word, not just the ones that seem to fit into our little scheme of things. Now, bear with me, folks. Mike Murdoch is getting to his real point.
My back was against the wall many years ago. I had lived in a one-bedroom apartment without even a chair or kitchen table. Lived in a friend's house for another year. Had sheets over my walls or my windows. Didn't even have a draperies. Not a kitchen table. And I received a royalty check for $5,000, and I was ecstatic. Went to a telethon, and a preacher said, "I want you to plant a $1,000 seed." It blew me away. A $1,000 seed. I'd never given $1,000 in my life. I was a $100 man. That day, I took my $1,000 and I planted it as a seed wrapped with my faith. 5 days later, the windows of heaven exploded in my life. It's like when I walked away from my $1,000, that proved something. It proved to God that I trusted Him with my future. In days, the windows of heaven opened on my life. I want to tell you about it when I come back in just a moment.
Now, he goes to another commercial here. We're cutting out the commercials because he sells his book, 101 Keys, Wisdom Keys, and we're not really interested in selling Mike Murdoch's book. But now, even those of you who haven't been paying that close attention can probably see where Mike Murdoch is headed with this. Remember the principle that he laid out. What you are willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you. He says that's one of his wisdom keys for finding your assignment in life. What you're willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you. I thought for a minute he might be applying it to walking away from sin, real repentance. But no. Now, he started into his story about his $1,000 seed. He got a windfall of money. This is a story of when he was poor. He got a windfall of money, and he said he went to a revival, went to a telethon, he calls it, and the Holy Spirit told him to plant a $1,000 seed. Do you see where it's headed? I mean, I probably don't even have to play the rest of the message. But for the sake of clarity, we will. Notice a few things. Not only is he obviously headed toward the bottom line, literally the sales pitch. I mean, after all, if I gave my $1,000 seed, and look how much God has prospered me. Maybe you should think about giving a $1,000 seed, too. By the way, the last 3 minutes of this sermon, we won't be playing it for you for the sake of time, is his pitch. Get up off the couch. Here are the phone numbers at the bottom of the screen. Call now. Don't wait. Hurry. Call now. It's like he's trying to sell me a blender. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're listening to Issues Etc. Now, if you are familiar with Dr. Mike Murdoch and Wisdom Keys, his television program that's on Sunday mornings here in St. Louis, feel free to give us a call, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. In about 15 minutes, we're going to be talking with Helen Hull Hitchcock about this new Vatican document on feminism. Boy, did it make a stir. It made a stir for two reasons. One, it reaffirms the Vatican's opposition to the ordination of women to the priesthood. And two, and I don't know why this made such a stir, it said that the distinction between men and women their unique qualities will persist not only in this life, but also in the life to come. And when I heard the news stories about this over the weekend, they were like, wow, the Pope's introduced a new doctrine that we'll be men and women in heaven. I don't know. That's what I was always taught. Raised this body a glorious body. We'll be talking to Helen Hull Hitchcock about that. So you can see where Mike Murdoch's message is going. Now he's going to talk about the third step.
Now, when you want to move away from your past, number one, you stop discussing what you want another to forget. Number two, you identify those who are comfortable with your future instead of your past. There's two kinds of people that are your friends. Those who love where you've been and those who love where you're going. You must identify those comfortable with your future. Now, a third important element is to create a dream room at your house.
I'm sorry. And he's serious. Yes, a dream room in your house. That's the third step to walking away from your past. Create a dream room in your house. My wife would love this. I mean, she'd love to have a dream room in her house. He doesn't mean your dream room, your, you know, furnished the way that you've always dreamt you could furnish your dream room. He's talking about a room devoted to your dreams, to your hopes, your aspirations, your imagination for the future. He'll get in more detail here about this dream room in your house. This sounds so much like if you can envision it, then it'll become a reality. And I don't know whether to put this in the classification of word faith, which would concur with that little axiom, or to classify it New Age. Or maybe in the terms of the church's history, Gnosticism. Your problem isn't sin. What you lack is wisdom. And if you get wisdom, then you'll know your assignment for life, and everything between you and God will be hunky-dory. In fact, it already is. The only problem is you don't know what to do next. And now that I'm thinking about it, you know, that really, in a nutshell, would pass muster in a lot of Christian churches today, as far as a decent sermon. Very little mention of sin, if any at all, and then, if you listen to the sermon, what you really lack is just knowing what to do next. And so the pastor is here on Sunday morning to tell you what to do next. The fact that Jesus died for you is history and really not relevant anymore. What you really need is to know what to do next. Not very different from Mike Murdoch's message here. But let's let him give us more details on this dream room.
And put on the wall pictures of what motivates you. A few hours ago, I had a wonderful day with a dear friend, Rob Thompson, and Peter J. Daniels, the great, great motivator and great successful man from Australia. And Peter gave me a picture. He said, Mike, I want you to see a picture of what I have on my walls at home. And he has a picture of himself and the people that were motivating to him over the years. And he said, I keep that picture with me at all times to see the examples of those who motivate me over the years. You must gaze at that which belongs in your future. Stop looking at that which feeds the wrong things in you. And so if you want to move into your future, you're going to have to get a picture of it. I have a dream room at my house where I have pictures of everything I want to become, what I want to do, what I want to accomplish. Because what you see determines what you feel. What you see controls your passion. What you see controls your desire. So put in front of you what inspires you. Now, there's an incredible testimony. I sat one day, sort of demoralized, discouraged, and I had just planted. I want to tell you this little story about my life because it changed my life radically. What you're willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you. I had received a royalty check for $5,000, and I was ecstatic. Whoever tells you money doesn't make you happy hadn't had very much, right? And money inspired me. It inspired me. And I was going to put draperies on my windows, and I was going to put buy a kitchen table and chairs. Now, that may not be exciting to some folks, but when you ain't got a table, it's exciting. And I went to a telephone, and the Holy Spirit nudged me and said, I want you to plant a $1,000 seed in this ministry. Oh, I was a $100 man. My father said, I'm the first Murdoch he ever knew to plant as much as $100. I planted a $1,000 seed that day, and the next day planted another seed in that same ministry, and that weekend came to speak for Bert Albritton, First Family Church here in Dallas, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me to plant a third thousand.
Now, you heard it right. He didn't just plant $1,000 seed. He planted, remember, he's got $5,000 that was the windfall that made him so happy, that inspired him so much. The money, he said, money inspired me. At least he's honest. At least he's honest. Money inspired me. He didn't plant just $1,000 seed, but over the course of those 3 days, he planted $3,000 seeds. Listen carefully, folks.
That afternoon, I sort of plummeted into a semi-depressed state. And whoever tells you they feel good every time they give, they probably don't give a whole lot. Because when you sow a big seed, sometimes you feel it for days afterwards. And that afternoon, I knelt in the privacy of Bert Albritton's little office, and I said, Holy Spirit, 5 days ago I had $5,000. I sowed that because I thought you wanted me to, but if I missed you, I'm sorry. And the Holy Spirit spoke back to my heart and said, when I talk to you about $1,000 seed, I've got a harvest on my mind. Nothing leaves heaven till something leaves the earth.
I had to stop at this point. But just notice, that's what I wanted you to listen for, folks. Nothing leaves heaven until something leaves earth. So what, Jesus didn't leave heaven to come to be our Savior until what? We paid for him? I mean, he's basically saying here that if you want something from God, you got to pay in advance. This isn't pay at the pump. This is pay in advance. You ever been to one of those places? Late at night, you pull into a gas station, you need gas. Not a very nice neighborhood. I guess God didn't live in a very nice neighborhood because he doesn't let you pay at the pump. No, pay in advance. And that's how God works. Nothing leaves heaven until something leaves earth. That's the principle he's driving toward.
When you open your hand, I open my windows. I remember thinking, I hope so. I'd never given that kind of seed in my life. That night after service, a man walks up to me with a book of rare automobiles, points to that and said, read it. And inside that book, there was a rare automobile. There was only 19 of them made in the world. He said, read that. He said, I happen to have serial number one of those 19. I said, you're kidding. He said, well, it's my pet car. God told me to give it to you. Monday, a man walks in my office and said, I hear you need a van for your ministry. I said, desperately. He said, order the best van that you can buy. God told me to give it to you. Pay for it. Tuesday, a man calls me and said, meet me for lunch. I sat down at the restaurant. He looked at me and said, I couldn't sleep last night. He said, I woke up in the night and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, bless Mike Murdoch's ministry. He shoves across the table a check for $10,000, and my life has never been the same. Look at that wisdom key again. What you're willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you. I was willing to let go of 1,000, and God let go of hundreds of thousands. My songs went around the world. Following that $1,000 seed, I found favor in areas I never dreamed. Brother Oral Roberts asked me to write the theme song for the Oral Roberts ministry. Everywhere in the world, songs like God Rides on Wings of Love. He's a healing Jesus. Jesus, just the mention of your name. My close friend Gary McSpadden called and said, Mike, I want to record that song. I want to spend my life mending broken people. So I've been telling everybody about the $1,000 seed because there's been six levels that God has blessed me. This is what Chuck and Marge wrote me from Goshen, Indiana. 2 years ago, I took 1,000 and planted it in your ministry. I just settled with the insurance company April the 15th for $100,000 return. Joseph and Michelle from Knoxville, Tennessee said, I became a $1,000 man, as you put it. When I gave the first 1,000, God returned it by giving us 49% in a Denny's restaurant. John and Lena from St. Peter's, Missouri. You were at our church, Church on the Rock. That's my dear friend, David Blunt. We planted that $1,000 seed. In September, I started a new job making $100,000, thanks a hundredfold. Columbus, Georgia. Alan wrote, and he had planted a $1,000 seed. He said, I've been in life insurance for 10 years now. The last event raised my commission from $66,000 to $99,000. You came to Casey Treat's church. Casey's got a great church if you're ever in Seattle. I was $250,000 in debt. I planted a $1,000 seed. Today the debt is paid. God has given me a ranch, 75-acre ranch listed at $1.29 million. Monty from Seattle. I'm the choir director at Marilyn Hickey's church. I love Marilyn Hickey, one of my favorite people. You said God laid on your heart to plant a $1,000 seed. I didn't have anywhere close to $1,000 that day to give. He stood and made that commitment. Here's what he said. Two Fridays ago, my wife and I received a check for the amount of $126,000+. Look at that wisdom key one more time. What you're willing to walk away from determines what God will bring to you. I broke the back of poverty with a $1,000 seed.
Now, there's his story. He broke the back of poverty with a $1,000 seed. You know, if this is typical of Mike Murdoch, you've got two problems, folks. One, you're ignorant. You're not sinful. You don't got a sin problem. You got a problem that you don't know what you need to know, and you don't know what to do next. And he says the way to find out what to do next, well, you got to walk away from the right things. So how do you walk away from the right things? Because what you walk away from will determine what God will bring to you. He says he broke the back of poverty with a $1,000 seed. I guess the other problem we have is we're not only ignorant, but we're broke. I mean, if we really want to break the back of poverty, then we'll do what Mike Murdoch did and give our $1,000. I don't even know where to begin with this. I don't have time to go into how far this deviates, not only from what Scripture teaches about why God gives good gifts. By the way, the answer to that question is because of Jesus alone. But let's just do it in terms of the diagnostic test. How often did Jesus get mentioned? Twice. Was Jesus ever the subject of the verbs? Yes, he was. In one case, he was the subject of the verbs where he said, Jesus didn't do well with all people because Jesus wasn't assigned to everybody. He was just assigned to somebody, to particular people. So what is the preacher, test number three, what is the preacher telling us Jesus has done for us? Nothing. In fact, the preacher, Mike Murdoch, has made it pretty clear, and he speaks about, you know, God's blessings in a generic way. He made it pretty clear. God doesn't do anything for you unless you pay in advance. You've got to plant the seed, and then he'll go on to talk about it. We don't have time to go into his prayer where he promises 120 people three miracles if they plant a $1,000 seed. But he makes it pretty clear that with God, it's quid pro quo. You don't get something for nothing, and that goes for God too, according to Mike Murdoch. So if you want to know your assignment, and you want to walk away and get what God has ready to bring to you, you've got to be willing to plant the $1,000 seed. By the way, Mike Murdoch's program is followed on ABC by a disclaimer saying, the proceeding has been a paid commercial announcement. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.